for me, to be invested into something that I'm doing, I have to care about it, and I have to be proud of it, and I have to feel like it's something that I'm like, oh, like that I'm proud of being involved with. And for me, like, I just want to keep making things that I would love to see in a movie theater.
Hi, and welcome to the episode of Cine Nation. I am Brandon Sparks.
And I'm Ben Gertz.
I'm Thomas Horton.
I'm Anna Catley.
This is Will Clayton.
And I'm Hunter Barcroft, here in the beautiful Atlanta, Georgia. Ben, back to you.
Where the weather is what?
Yeah, Yollywood. Tell us about Portland, though. How's the weather? Are you go to the new updated zoo?
I did. How did you know, Hunter? Is that because you might have watched the previous intro? Oh, I'm dragging you through the street. Man. I'm dragging you through the street. It's beautiful in Portland, though. You should come.
One day, when I can afford such things, and I'm not working, on Rick Grimes'
season. This whole podcast is basically just a subversive travel campaign for the city of Portland,
Oregon.
Yeah.
It's not working.
That's about it. And it hasn't worked at all. None of us.
I've been to Portland.
So.
Just not.
Well.
You know, from your, telling us to go. I've just gone independently.
Does that even count, bro?
Guys.
She didn't even visit you.
I can take this pain. It's been 50 episodes of hate, and I want to mark that tonight.
Wow, 50 whole episodes,
Brandon. 50
more.
Episodes.
Wow. Of hate. Let's
50 more of nothing but hate.
Let's really hope so. But hopefully it will not take us over 2 years this time.
I'm going to rename this whole podcast Zack Snyder Nation, and we're just going to talk real bad about Zack Snyder and Ben.
I'm cool with that.
I'm down with that, to be honest. Oh, that sounds good.
So anyway, we've hit 50, which when Ben and I started doing this, we honestly didn't think, well, Ben didn't think we'd get here.
Wow, Ben, way to believe in a dream.
I set the bar exceptionally low, and I said I would be surprised if we would get more than one download, excluding ourselves, right? But one download from a stranger to me would be a success. So I've been very pleasantly surprised and like happy with how this whole thing's turned out. It's been fantastic.
You're welcome.
And so, it started off with Ben and me. Actually, and Hunter was involved early on, just to not say he didn't come come 1 year later. He was involved with helping us plan it. And he got very, very busy.
Yeah, dude, Selma.
I think this would be called, uncredited, right? You'd show up as uncredited for the first,
I was a background extra. And then, but I was around. But I was super busy doing Selma, and then Selma ended and had that weird couple of months when the Sony hack happened. And really, the Sony hack happening gave me enough time to get involved more, and that's why I started on here. Coincidentally, also the same time that I discovered Anna's review of Selma. And then,
I didn't write a review of Selma.
Or you did? There's something you did of Selma that I saw online, and I was looking at Selma.
I made an
stuff.
Instagram collage. Mm-hmm.
That's what it was. So I was looking at stuff tagged about Selma. And I was like, huh. And I just led down this trail, and then here we are. Life is crazy, guys.
And you were like, wow, this girl writes incredible stuff about movies, and we should have her on the podcast.
Yeah, it was like...
And then everything changed.
Everything changed.
And then I was on for three episodes.
Because we're skipping so many steps right now.
And we're skipping some steps, but at the same time, it was just a bunch of dudes talking about movies until Anna got here, so...
I mean, it still is a podcast of dudes talking about movies. It's just a random interjection from a woman every once in a while. I still am grossly outnumbered.
Once every 4 months, but we'll go with that.
We're
pretty much.
We're trying to fix that. We're trying to find another voice to add to the.
You're telling Anna we're replacing her is what you just said.
We're not replacing Anna. We just need multiple Annas. If we could clone Anna, that would be great.
Oh my god.
That's so rude.
This is a great intro, guys.
I can't believe I'm being replaced.
You're not being replaced. That's not a replacement.
This is a shock. I'm in awe.
Oh gosh. So anyway, back to how this thing got started.
Yes, please keep us back on track.
So 2 years ago, Ben and I started texting back and forth, and we the first few episodes we did actually through phone call, and we just recorded our phone calls is what we did.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah, that's right.
Wow.
It was very,
so,
yeah.
Started from the bottom, wow. Now we're here.
Anyway, so, like, we started doing that, and what I want to ask you guys, because you guys came on later, like, I guess, what introduced you to the show, and then why did you, like, want to come on, and why have you stayed doing it, if that makes sense? Like, because you all...
Yeah, why do you give a shit? Thomas, why do you give a shit about...
Because I see Brandon every day, and if I... hadn't listened to the podcast or come on the podcast or continued recording, he would have just, you know, bugged me about it until I did.
That's a good enough reason as any.
I bug other people too, and they still don't do it. So, like, you have to have some sort of, like, you want to do it, I guess. Don't, like...
Yeah, I enjoy it. I enjoy talking with all of you. I enjoy talking about movies and all kinds of cool stuff, and you guys let me come on pretty quickly, and, like, I think I came up with the second episode that I was ever on. Like, I came up with the story for it, which was really cool. And then you guys let Hunter and I introduce Bad Movie Book Club, which we're going to get up and going at some point again. But
we still have that one movie we haven't done, and we all watched it, and we never recorded the episode. So...
It's gone. I still have like 2 pages of notes I took on it.
Me
in
too.
In my phone.
I took pretty meticulous notes on that movie. I'm actually kind of disappointed we didn't get to talk about it. In retrospect,
it just shows how really bad that movie is. we were like, no, can't, nope, sorry.
Hi and welcome to another episode of Bad Movie Book Club.
So that's Thomas. So Will, what about you?
Well, it's kind of by accident, really. Hunter and I, of course, went to high school together, went to college together at Alabama. And I've loved movies forever. And then, funny story, when I was still working at the movie theater, for any time any of my friends or anyone would come to the theater, they'd always put me in box office to make suggestions to people, because I usually knew what was out and I'd seen it and had something to say about it. And one day, one of my friends said, "Okay, you have to go see the new Transformers movie, the one with Mark Wahlberg in it, and tell us what you think, and put it on the internet." And I said, "Okay, fine." And that was the first little review I ever wrote, was basically how much I hated and how little sense Mark Wahlberg's Transformers movie made. And after that, Hunter, of course, kept up with me on Facebook, sort of seeing whenever I'd write and post things, and say, "You know what, man, we've..." Got a little group here, a couple of friends of mine in film school out in L.A. and some other folks have a little website going on Medium that we're doing. We got a little podcast as well. You should just write and let us publish your stuff through there, you know, be a better platform for you. No mention of money at this point, of course, but...
there will never be. No.
You're getting paid?
Basically.
How do you think we pay for hosting of this show, guys? Come on.
And so then after a while, I got a random message one evening saying, "Hey, you should come on the podcast." I said, "All right." So I showed up, and here we now are.
Okay. And then, Hunter, I guess you as well.
I became involved?
You kind of said it, but yeah, I mean...
Yeah, but I mean, way back in the day, I know you and Ben were talking about doing something. Ben, I think you had already moved at that point. You had already been over in Portland for a while.
Yeah.
Brandon, you either had just gone to LA or you were in the first year of being in LA.
Just gone to LA. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I remember, honestly, for me, a lot of it was like, I just miss seeing you guys and talking to you guys about stuff. And this is honestly like a lot of the conversations we'd have more in depth, but like we would still talk about the same stuff when we were together, like back in Alabama. So for me, it was like an excuse to get to talk to you guys face to face, kind of over the internet. and talk about movies, which I, you know, obviously we all care about a lot. And, I don't know. I do remember being less involved and more like behind the scenes, kind of like facilitating for a while or just giving like talking points or like notes and stuff that I thought. But yeah, really honestly, after Selma, ended, that's when I kind of had more time to step in and do more stuff. And like the same thing, I guess you could say, on Billy Lynn, like there's definitely periods of time where I'm like not on the show much. And that's generally when, I have something like that going on. Same with Walking Dead, how that's been kind of you know, controlling my life. But I don't know. I don't know. I feel like it's been a really good year, or a really good. I guess it's more than a year, honestly. But
Not quite, just over, right?
Like dose.
When you guys came out, it's been a year, but Ben and I started almost 2 years ago.
Dude, we were talking about since
Hunter. Yeah, Hunter, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
A year for you guys.
Yeah. I just remember, man, I remember, like, working on the prop truck during Billy Lynn, and there would be times where I'm cleaning the prop truck up and, like, organizing stuff, and I would listen to, like, 4 or 5 episodes in a row. It's like, boom, I would download them and just listen to them while I was working. And then occasionally, during Selma, I would actually be Snapchatting with Ben while I was in the prop truck. And you guys would be, like, doing stuff for the episode, and I'm sitting there just, like, talking to Ben on Snapchat. And I don't know, it's been a really, like, interesting thing for me, and I've really enjoyed it a lot, and I really can't wait to see where we take this, because it's really meant a lot to me.
Aww.
Thank you.
Aww.
And then,
don't get all sentimental on us now, we haven't gotten anywhere yet. This took us all the way from 2 guys sitting and recording in their rooms over the phone to 5 to 6 people recording in their rooms over the internet. It's a real journey.
And
that's
so
nice.
And so,
I love the wet blanket. That is so needed.
So Anna, with you. So Hunter reached out to you.
Yeah, but you guys already knew each other because some weird twist of fate.
We have a very like strange twisted backstory from me being on this show. Mm. I guess I would have to start in 2013, right, Brandon?
Yes,
2013. I would have to start at the beginning. 2013 in Cannes, France, and Brandon and I were...
Where all great stories begin.
Of course. It was beautiful. Brandon was working in the American Pavilion for this internship we were doing, and he was doing the food services, and I was coffee, and obviously Brandon and I became friends, and I was, like, charmed by all these wonderful Alabaman and Oklahoman and Texan accents as a, you know, frosty Canadian out in the French world. And Brandon and I stayed friends, and then Hunter found my Instagram, I think. That's how it worked, right, Brandon?
Hunter? Yeah, it was Instagram.
Yeah, Instagram.
It was the collage was, there was, like, 4 pictures.
Yeah, I used to do a thing where I would watch, like, every time I watched 4 movies, I would, like, post all the posters in a collage on Instagram, just, like, keep track of the movies I'd seen.
Yeah.
I should start that up again. And then Hunter emailed me, and I didn't answer for 2 weeks. And then
I was like, oh, Brandon, God.
Well, I did read it, and then I kind of forgot about it because I was pretty busy with school at the time. And then I think Brandon may have reached out to me and was like, hey, my friend Hunter emailed you. Email him back, basically. Yeah. And I did. And then they brought me on for, I can't, what was the first episode? Roadhouse. For Bad Movie Book Club.
Yeah.
That was the first episode I did.
Usually when I email someone, that means like, hey, email this person back. That's when
I Yeah, exactly. And I was like, oh, shit, Brandon's mad at me. I got to email people. So, yeah, that's what I did. And first episode was Roadhouse, which is incredible because I love Sam Elliott to an insane degree. We had lots of discussions about that. And then there was the problem where something happened with my recording, and we had to re-record the Roadhouse episode.
Yeah,
which was a bad first episode for me to be on, I guess.
I was speaking off the dome, guys. I was improvising the whole thing.
Jeez,
we did not re-record.
Anna, you had listened to like a bunch of episodes when you were like flying back home.
Yeah, so I was like when I had like coming back from Vancouver to Toronto. I listened to a whole bunch of episodes while I was on the plane, and I was like, okay, yeah, this is, like, pretty legit. Like, I was, like, wondering, what is Brandon Sparks' podcast about? This could be anything. And I listened to it, and I was like, this is great. And I listened to the Tom Hanks episode, where you guys were just talking, like, doing the Tom Hanks game, and I was like, this sounds incredible.
Thanks, Beth.
And I would be, like, so happy to be on an episode like the Tom Hanks episode. And I was just like, I just finished my undergrad where I did film theory and history, and that's what I loved, and I missed talking about it, so I thought this would be really great, and it has been great.
And
we need to bring that format back, but obviously not for Tom Hanks, but another...
We've talked about it, we've never done it. So what has been y'all's, like, favorite episode I listen to or record, I guess, just to
Tom Hanks.
Tom, okay.
Tom Hanks Fest, honestly. It was great. It was brilliant.
I've got mine, which is the future of storytelling episode. I went back and scrolled mm-hmm. through, and I mean, for completely selfish reasons, but I mean, that's like, I think that captures for me like what I've been kind of aiming for over the past 3 to 4 years of like kind of changing, like moving to Portland and doing the work that I've been doing, and I don't know, like I basically could do another version of that episode, but it would basically be a lot of the same like references and influences, but I'm finally starting to like kind of get closer to making some of that stuff, and that's I don't know, so that we've, there's like, I went back through the list and I'm like, there's a, I was surprised, like we've got some great like back catalog interviews, but yeah, that's like, that's my favorite.
I got a three-way tie, guys. A three-way tie. Number one was the interview we did with Barry from Netflix.
Mostly because
Ben nerded out the whole time, and then Brandon had not watched the thing that he had suggested at the end.
Disappointed me that you did not watch Ash.
Dude, Ben's mind exploded, and it was amazing. That episode I really enjoyed. The second episode that I like probably was the near and dear to my heart episode for some weird reason, is the year in review you guys did, where you're like looking back talking about stuff. That was amazing, and I felt like I was sitting there like in the conversation just not talking when I was listening to it, and I like, there's something about that episode I really hit home for me. But then the third is the Western episode that Thomas and I did, because we had nothing to talk about, and man, we just rambled about Western movies, and honestly, I would love to bring that up again at some point. I've been on a Western kick since I saw Magnificent Seven, so yeah.
Well, that's what started too, right? That was right after Thanksgiving, and I was just like, "What?" It was just me and Hunter. I was like, "What do you want to talk about?" You're like, "I just watched a bunch of westerns with my family for Thanksgiving." I was like, "Let's do it."
Yeah, I love that episode. It was a fun time. We should do more stuff like that, because I had a great time.
And that's a great idea, like a themed episode. I really like that idea.
We've done a few.
The Western one was
few.
Great.
Yeah,
I'll throw a different one at you.
Two
that I enjoyed the most. One is a full episode. I thought the Oscars episode we did post Oscars was great. That was a lot of fun. Hunter, Anna, that was a really good episode we did. That was pretty funny.
Mm-hmm.
Though my favorite moment though overall from the entire show is Thomas and Brandon discussing Civil War, Captain America 3, and then Hunter just bursting in about the 45-minute mark. Hold up, guys. Now, wait a minute. Like, and just takes over the episode. The first time, I've listened to that episode maybe about 5 times now just for that moment, because I just die laughing every time.
I love the comic timing. Yeah, Hunter was just texting me like, guys, let me in. Guys, I'm here. Tag me in. And I was like, yes, go.
And then he just called, and I was like, I guess I have to add him. And... Yep.
And then literally, it's just Hunter just rambling for a good 5 minutes straight, and then Brandon just laughing, and just that alone was worth really the whole price to download. So, which is free, but you know what I mean.
And so, well, and see, too, with that one, it was like we were like, Thomas and I were about to wrap up the episode, and then we went an extra 30 minutes, basically. Is what happened.
I loved it.
I had so much I wanted to say. I had so many words that needed to come out of my mouth, and I was just like, please, God, let me. And you're just like, we're almost done. I'm like, no.
No, honestly, Hunter, it reminded me of like when Cat Williams bursts into a room, you know, and just like starts into a Cat Williams rant, just the way just that whole entrance, just above and beyond, you know, over the top, attitude, everything was just in that moment.
I wanted it to be like Stone Cold Steve Austin, like rushing down the ramp, like and diving into the ring. That also works.
And so, Thomas, what was yours?
Ooh, can I do a three? Hunter did a three-way tie. Can I do a three-way tie? Okay. Well, for one, I just got to throw out for like the entire multimedia experience was the Hanks Fest, because. That's when you guys had me delve into my terrible Photoshop skills to make all those movie posters of us with Tom Hanks, which was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And then Hunter put together the whole, like, Jeopardy thing, which I won.
You cheated, but yes, you won. Hunter miscalculated, okay?
Hey.
Hunter, I don't think you miscalculated.
Okay. I think I was pretty dead accurate with my calculations. How dare you question the Game Master? Do you want to be docked points for next Hangs Fest?
Review the tape. Exactly. Review the tape.
And then, let's see, I also really enjoyed, I think it was, like, the third episode I was on, and I feel like we really started hitting, like, I really started hitting my stride was, the soundtracks episode when Dusty came on.
Yeah.
And, I got to confess my love for the over-the-top soundtrack, which Brandon ended up getting me for my birthday on vinyl.
I did.
That's so sweet, Brandon, that's so, so thoughtful.
And then my, probably... Like, those are all my favorite episodes for several reasons, but probably just my favorite episode to listen to is I Know Who Killed Me, the Bad Movie Book Club episode, because that was... I love Bad Movie Book Club. I really want to get it going again, because that's my favorite thing to do is watch bad movies and talk about them. But, like, I think we were all just on it for that episode. We just had some zingers, and we were just spitting them out, and it was great. You guys should check that episode out. Bad Movie Book Club. Bad Movie Book Club is a thing. There's episodes on the iTunes store. Should isn't, listen to them, too.
Isn't the Bad Movie Book Club episode of Roadhouse the most popular download?
No. No.
Yeah, or has that changed?
Yep. I'm pretty sure Brandon said it was.
No. No. The Barry episode is our most popular download.
Oh. I
will give you this. Is that I will say I Know Who Killed Me is in the top 10.
Woo. What he doesn't want to say is it's the second most downloaded episode.
No, it's not. It's not.
Yeah, but this is also coming from Brandon, who thinks that the Hanks Fest points were miscalculated. So I don't know.
Review the tape, guys. Review the tape.
You're a 9/11 truther, Brandon.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Okay, anyway. I guess I'll say mine, because I've had... I mean, in all honesty, anytime I get to talk to you guys is a favorite episode of mine, and that's not sentimental. I just do. I love talking. I do love talking to you guys about this stuff. And I also love the interviews that I've been getting to do recently. And I think one of my favorites, because it was a mixture of the two, it was the one we did, or when I interviewed Sebastian at Cinephile, because I got to interview him about the store, and the store is very important to me. And also, Thomas and I talked a little bit about, like, kind of how video stores were important to us and everything. And so that's been one of my favorites. And then I'm trying to think what the other one was. I like the one that Thomas and I just recently did that Ben talked about our thesis film. That was fun as well. I think most of the ones we've done are my favorites. I really enjoy them, because I have to re-record them, and then I edit all of them, so I spend a lot of time with them all. So that's why I like them all. So that's your favorite episode. I've been, the past few weeks, we've been trying to figure out what to talk about on this episode. And like, I spent a lot of time last night just driving around Los Angeles trying to figure out what to talk about and why this show was important to me and to us. And I think the biggest thing was talking about, like, the artist that we respect and that kind of like keep us going, why we got into film or television, and wanting to talk about stories and then also tell stories. And that was kind of what I wanted us to talk about tonight, was the people we respect that we look up to and we love seeing what they do. Because I was, what inspired me for that topic was I saw the trailer for Fences this past week, with Denzel Washington and Viola Davis.
Mm.
Have y'all watched it?
Yes. Yes. Reviving their Tony winning performances in.
Yes. I got to see them on Broadway for that show.
Oh, that's awesome.
And
I'm very jealous.
I had just graduated high school, and that was like the time where I realized what acting could really be. Because seeing Denzel Washington and Viola Davis, because it was right before Viola got big, because it was before The Help. I think she'd only done, like, Doubt was her big thing. But that was seeing them on stage.
I mean, it got her Academy Award nomination, but, yeah.
Yeah, no, it did. It did. But, like, she wasn't... I think Help was what put her...
In the American consciousness is what he means.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, she was phenomenal in Doubt. But when I saw him in Fences, I was, like, blown away by it. And that's why I really got to see, like, what, like, acting could really be. When having a good script like August Wilson's play, so that was like a moment for me. But just, so who are some people for you guys that like got you into like doing this, like wanting to be involved in film or television, or like maybe moments, I guess, if that makes sense. Like how me with Fences.
I can tell you mine, and I thought about it a lot lately for some reason. When I was in seventh grade, I was in, I was also a backstory. I was a huge Lost nerd when I was in like sixth, seventh grade.
I remember this.
Yeah, so I would, you remember Miss Klein, Will? From,
she was my favorite teacher in seventh grade. English. Yeah, lit.
So I would basically get to school pretty early because my parents would drop me off earlier than most kids. And so I would go to her classroom and we would sit there and talk about Lost for hours because she was a Lost nerd too. So we would talk about Lost, but she would like really get me like an in-depth thinking about the story and how things were going. And like this is back before Lost kind of like writer strike, you know, tanked towards the latter, like the latter half. So it just got me thinking about story structure, storytelling, that kind of stuff. J.J. Abrams, just in general, how that show progressed, I was, like, hooked into it, and that really made me want to, like, it made me consider, like, I want to make something like this one day. I want to make something that people, like, love and remember and cherish for the rest of their life, and that they're going to talk about on a podcast, you know, 10 years after the fact. And I don't know, man, that and Miss Klein, like, really, I don't know. It made me think about, like, this being a possible thing for me to do. Like, this working in this industry. When, like, you grow up in Birmingham, Alabama, or Tuscaloosa,
yeah,
or even Canada, like, so, like, you don't have, like, the... It's not around you all the time. You don't think, yeah, like, this is not something that a kid from Alabama can do. It just doesn't seem, like, logistical, I guess? Or theater, yeah, like, even possible? And I don't know. It's been a crazy ride, but that's how I wanted to do this. That's how I wanted to make movies in the TV shows.
Thomas?
I don't know. I'm trying to remember. There's been so many episodes, but I'm trying to remember back if I've shared this like moment before, and I may have, but you know, we'll do a recap. When I was six, we moved into a new house, and we had, this house had surround sound speakers, which we did not have in our old house, and so my dad was so excited. He had not shown me Raiders of the Lost Ark yet. We had it on VHS, and he wanted me to watch it so bad, and my mom had, like, never let him show it to me, but then I had just turned six, and she was like, okay, fine, he can watch it, and my dad was like, yes, it's gonna be amazing on surround sound. And we watched it, and my mom still made me close my eyes during the part when the ark is opened, but...
Don't look at it!
Otherwise, I watched the whole thing. Yeah, yeah, exactly. But otherwise, I watched the whole thing, and that was... And, like, I was obsessed with, like, movies growing up, but that was the first time I remember watching it and being, like, somebody made this. Like, Steven Spielberg is, like, a person who did this. So, yeah, I mean, obviously my influences have changed a lot over the years, and what I want to do has changed a whole lot over the years, because I moved to Los Angeles to be a director, and I haven't, you know, I don't really do that at all anymore, but I always go back to Raiders of the Lost Ark. Like, anytime people are like, oh, name your five favorite movies, I'm like, I have to, I mean, and I still enjoy that movie to this day, it's an amazing film, but yeah, I've always got to leave that in, because that's what launched it.
If we're going back to like childhood slash early days, which I like, I don't think I've told this story before at all, but I just remember in high school, I was like, my plan was to like do music. I was like, I'm going to be in a band. I'm going to record. Like, I spent a lot of time recording friends, running a little like ad hoc recording studio, you know, like thinking about that as what I was going to do. And then, yeah, I just remember sitting with a friend who was a really, really talented songwriter, and he was like, well, let's write a song together. And I was like, okay, great, let's do this. And he's sitting there, and he's like, he starts to like, this sounds potentially weird, but I mean, he's like, all right, so like, he just would start closing his eyes and start like, he's like, I close my eyes and I hear music, right? And I was like, okay, so when I close my eyes, like, all I see is images, right? Like, it was just a simple enough thing, like in my mind, where it's like, oh, what I ultimately, you know, I ended up doing like film studies program, right, and started doing production, and then it was really seeing stuff like All the Real Girls by David Gordon Green, like some of these like like local stories, right? These like small scale things where you get that same feeling, right, Thomas, where it's like someone made this. Like someone wrote this, and they wrote it in such a way that it feels like something that I know. And it's a simple thing, but like that, you know, that it still feels like an anchor, even though I've kind of like, you know, I've moved to Portland and I'm kind of taking a different like tact at it, right? But I feel like the arc of where I'm headed is still kind of in that direction, which is like just transposing like what, just communicating with other people, like what you see or feel or think about something. But also it's like anchored to that like earthy David Gordon Green and like Mudd and some of these other like, you know, storytellers that I love, right? That make it feel authentic. I don't know.
Buzzwords.
That's what I'm saying.
Anna, how about you?
The movies I have, it's weird because I feel like I have a few stages in terms of like coming to realization that movies is what I wanted to be the main focus of my life. But I think it probably started when I was, I think I must have been like only about four, and I watched West Side Story for the first time, and I had it on VHS, and I watched it over and over and over again. I watched this movie so many times, it's ridiculous, and mostly just for the opening 9-minute scene where they're just, the Sharks are versus the Jets, and it's just an incredible scene, and I actually like took that VHS with me to preschool one day, like almost like it was like a safety blanket, but it was like the VHS copy of West Side Story. And my mom had to like write my name on it in Sharpie so that no one would take it and that I could just like bring it with me and no one would like steal it from me and I wouldn't lose it. So that was like the beginning of it, where West Side Story was like my safety blanket and I loved it and I watched it over and over. And I kind of did the same thing with Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid. But the turning point where I've got the poster over my bed. I don't know if you guys saw that, but it's like, I love that movie. The moment where I realized I had to start taking it seriously, when I was like, oh man, like this is actually what I want to do, was I had this book of, I think it was a 500 actors book, you know, those like really big ones that are like 1,000 things you need to do before you die, but it was for actors. And I was flipping through and looking at my favorite actors, and I decided I'd watch the movies that had been nominated for Oscars for my favorite actors. So I opened at Sean Connery's page, and I saw that he had been nominated and won for The Untouchables. And I was like, well, that's a movie I haven't seen. So I decided to rent it back when there was like the ones where they mail DVDs to you. And so I got it in the mail and I watched it. And then I watched it 3 more times that week. And I became obsessed with The Untouchables. And I was particularly obsessed with the scene in the train station where the baby buggy goes down the steps and goes down and down and down. I looked it up online and I found out that it was based on a scene from Battleship Potemkin by Sir J. Eisenstein. And I was like, well, that's interesting. And then I decided to watch that movie. And then I was like, wow, it's really, film is really like referential. And it's, you know, like a broader universe than you might imagine. And that got me thinking about filmographies and looking at different directors, like entire oeuvres, and like kind of like looking at it from that perspective, which got me into De Palma. And now we're here. And It's been a long ride, but yeah, The Untouchables is really kind of the turning point, but there's been a lot of build up before that, but that was the moment I was like, oh man, I'm in deep.
And Will, how about you?
Yeah. So kind of a couple of things. First thing you know about me is that I have I call it a gift. My mother might call it a curse, but I got this from my father. If there's anything I watch or enjoy, I can watch it probably one time and be able to quote it to you backwards and forwards. Backwards, it'd take maybe a second viewing, but the first time it'd go forward. So I was raised on, you know, my dad quoting Monty Python to me and watching Monty Python and being exposed to that probably in like age 12 was Monty Python. But the first time I remember watching a movie and realizing, oh wow, what you're seeing on screen isn't all that's going on in the story, and that there's more to it than what's just being shown on screen, was the Coen brothers, in particular No Country for Old Men. I'm gonna watch that at the Summit Theater, Hunter, in Birmingham.
Oh, the Summit 16.
Yes, I know that theater well, yeah. Actually, too.
Carmike, yep. Man. Carmike.
Yep.
This is even before it was Carmike. I think it was Regal at the time.
Yeah, and it was right before Regal. I think Regal sold that. Yeah.
Yep. And it was a Saturday afternoon, my dad and I went to go watch this movie. And I had previously been exposed to the Coens. I really liked their stuff. Of course, I was raised on Raising Arizona. And nice. And of course, and Fargo really messed me up the first time I watched it, as I think it probably should if you're a young person. But sure. I remember watching that movie and just thinking, oh my gosh, like this is some really cool stuff going on here. Just the fact that the movie is practically silent, that there's no music. I remember that being, that struck me as I'd never seen a movie really do that before.
Yeah.
And the characters, everything just felt so, and this is the way that the Coens do it. It's hyper realistic. You know, it's so surreal. It's so weird. It has to be real. And, I just remember watching that movie and going, wow, there's a lot of stuff going on here. And from there, that just sort of began my new obsession. I always liked movies in high school. Hunter can attest, I always talked about movies and TV shows back before even people knew what movies and TVs were for most high school kids. Like, you know, like people like, oh, they went to movies. But then you had those kids who were like really like way too into movies. I was one of those kids. And and so watching that, and of course reading Roger Ebert growing up, seeing what, you know, just to what looks good to go watch this weekend. And that sort of inspired me to sort of take a look at, you know, dissecting film, both on screen, from taking sort of English and psychology and other things out of it and seeing what people are doing. And so I give the Coens that credit, and particularly No Country.
I remember going to the theater when I was in high school, and even when I was in college a couple times, and Will would be running the window.
Yep, box office.
And honestly, there's a couple times where I was like, I had no like idea of what I was really there to see. Like, I had something in mind, but I was open to suggestions. Will pointed me in the right direction every time, without fail.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, thank you.
Without fail. Like, I'm telling you, that you are, like, the exemplary theater employee.
Oh. Thank you. Too bad you couldn't tell my manager that. I could have gotten a 10-cent raise.
Man, if I only knew
just,
that back
just
then.
Playing this episode.
I quit that job 2 years ago.
Oh, God, oh, that's misery.
Go back and play in this episode just so he knows.
Oh my gosh.
Brandon, what got you into this?
What got me into this? Many things. Because like going off of kind of what Hunter said, because I can relate to that so much of when you're being from like Alabama or this like non-Hollywood or New York, like to us growing up, Hollywood and New York were the place to be. Like, we didn't think you could happen like anywhere else, and or you came from anywhere else. And so like that was kind of was unobtainable to me of like doing film. And I grew up watching film pretty early on. Like, I kind of like Anna, the movie for me though was Wizard of Oz. That was like my go-to movie growing up. I had multiple like taped copies of Wizard of Oz. I had an actual official copy that I bought, but overall had like 4 copies of it. And sometimes it'd be like half on one tape, half on another, because my mom knew how much I loved it, and she would tape it for me whenever it came on. And I remember there was a video store in Tuscaloosa that I can't even remember the name of it because it wasn't there that long. They bought me they gave me the poster for like the Wizard of Oz re-release that I had at a very young age. But the thing that like made me realize like film could be something I could do like for a career maybe. I was in, it took a few years, but the first thing that happened was I was in middle school and I was working in the library as a library assistant, and I came across a biography for Walt Disney, and I read that. And I read that over and over again for like a straight week or two. And for some reason, it was something that inspired me to think like this could be a career. You could actually tell stories for a living. And that just came into where I started watching more movies, and I bought a camera and I tried to make stuff. And then in the high school years is when I made a huge list of movies to watch. And I just tried to go one by one to gain a larger vocabulary. So it was things like Casablanca that inspired me, or Annie Hall, or anything with Jimmy Stewart, It's a Wonderful Life, Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. That stuff like made me wonder. What, Ben? What are you laughing at?
Hello, savings and loans.
Mr. Potter.
Merry Christmas, Mary.
What do you want, Mary? Do you want the moon? I just don't go out there and lasso up there for you.
Now we're all doing Jimmy Stewart impersonations.
Terrible.
It's funny because to me it sounds like Bill Clinton. It's like a healthy mix of Jimmy Stewart and Bill Clinton.
Oh my gosh.
I dig it though. I dig it. I really do. It's great.
Thank you.
I can't tell if she's chilling us right now or not.
Canada, eh?
Canada.
How are those Justin Trudeau candles?
I tell you, Justin Trudeau, man. Like, I don't know what's happening. There's Trudeau mania. People are so into that guy. Like, he's great though. He's beautiful.
Princess Kate is in on that too. Did you see those pictures?
I saw that photo. She looked very flustered. I would be the same. He's a beautiful man, and he's a feminist, and he talks. He says nice things. I like that
boy. He says nice things.
The words. He has nice words.
We have really nice people. We're
I don't think I've ever called our prime minister a boy. I like that boy. That's a nice boy. But yeah, that's our prime minister. That's a leader of a country. And he's on the cover of Vogue. And he also does shirtless boxing. So, suck it, America.
Are you afraid he's going to go the way of William Pitt? Just reaches too fat, too high, too quickly at such a young age and end up being destroyed by a much greater man like Napoleon Bonaparte?
That was a huge left turn there, Will. A huge left turn.
Yeah, that's a little big for this conversation.
I would hope as a Canadian you'd appreciate the comedic musings of one Norm Macdonald, who I was trying to channel there for you just to take something in a totally left field.
Norm Macdonald, who's that?
Oh my god!
This came up at work the other day. The this is a real thing.
Of KFC.
Which big one? Hat. Big
Sorry?
Hat.
Sorry.
Funny.
Norm Macdonald.
You guys don't have KFC? Come on.
You don't have you don't watch Saturday Night Live?
You don't have KFC? Seriously, Seth?
We have KFC. I've never had it, but we have it. It's here. Mm-hmm. It's in Canada.
He's one of the best friends in Billy Madison. He's one of his best friends.
He usually walks on screen. Hey, guys, what's going on?
Gotcha.
She's like, nope.
It's been a while since I saw Billy Madison, you know? It's been a while.
Okay.
after the Ridiculous Six, I've kind of avoided Adam Sandler a bit more, you know.
You have to dig back in time, like, you know, the previous evolution of Adam Sandler to really get the good stuff.
It's true. I still dig The Wedding Singer. I think that's a great movie. It's a great flick.
Right. Oh, guys, don't let this turn into a Sandler episode because Brandon will be all over it.
No, I'm not gonna do that.
Bring us back.
I can't
remember what we were talking about before we got here.
So a lot of the stuff, a lot of the stories you're talking about earlier on, like you're in high school or even younger. With everything, I guess, changing it, a number of you work on films and you do stuff, like what keeps you going? Like what keeps you interested in films and television nowadays? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because we're young and we're starting out, you can become cynical fairly quickly about like what's going on, what's being released. So like what are things that like keep you wanting to see more and want to be involved?
I'll hop on this early so that you guys can say real things. Because I see so few films, they tend to be like the creme de la creme. And I'm like, oh, films are great. I like films. But it's, you know, once a month-ish, you know. So that's what keeps me going, is seeing good films makes you think that films are great.
What's some ones you're thinking of? Let's name drop things.
Oh, name drop some things? I mean, I saw Mad Max, you know, a month or two ago, and I was like, I can understand why people were talking about this. Let's see. And I saw Midnight Special. I saw Midnight Special, which we haven't talked about yet. Hunter, I know you're in love with it. I have a lot of things to say about it, but it's probably not this moment that we do it. But
let's hold off. I still haven't watched it yet. It's on my list.
Let's all watch it. That could be one of our like. We could do a whole show on like that and his previous films.
Yeah.
Right? Well, we should do it leading into Loving is what we should do. That's when we should do it. Leading into when Loving gets released. That's the perfect time for us to touch base on that movie.
Okay.
Cool.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. So who is next? Or Ben, were you finished?
No, I'm done. Okay. I'm done. Big hat.
Anna?
Oh gosh, I don't even know. I'm almost tempted to kind of piggyback on that comment there. Just, I mean, I watch a lot. I watch a lot of movies, and I don't watch a lot of new releases, unfortunately. But I do go back and watch, you know, films that are like 20 or 30 years old that I've never seen before, and I'm just constantly amazed by the stuff that I'm finding still that I just fall in love with and want to explore completely, and just want to, you know, I just want to watch more and more, and it just, it makes me so excited that there's things I've yet to see, whether it's 30 years old or if it's coming out like next month. There's just always something innovative and cool happening, whether or not we think it's actually, that's actually the case, because, you know, we are bombarded with a lot of, you know, big blockbuster things that aren't as innovative as we might think. But I think there's always something cool happening in film, and I like, I'm kind of an optimist when it comes to that. You know, there's a lot of shit, but there's also a lot of gems out there.
Well, we need an optimist with Ben around, so.
There you go. There you go. Well, I mean, that. it's like great. Like, I mean, like a few, like last month I saw Manhunter for the first time, and I was just like, holy crap. Like, I've like kind of like neon soaked movies are kind of my thing right now. And I was just like, couldn't believe how stylish it was. And I just like adored every single frame I saw. And then there's movies like that I saw, you know, I just saw The Witch a month ago, and The Witch is incredible.
Love that movie.
It's like one of the best movies I've seen in years, and it's just such an impeccably done horror film, and it's just beautiful to look at. It's just the right amount of scary. It's just, and it's completely, it feels completely original because it's just so like steeped in the past, like the way they constructed that film, you know, with instruments that were entirely from like the 1600s with the way they spoke was so in tune with the time. It was just, there's a lot of great stuff happening, and I'm just, that's what kind of keeps me in it, is I always find something that I just fall in love with, and I just keep looking for the next thing. That was a long way to explain that, but yeah, pretty much piggybacking on what you were saying.
Yeah. Hunter, what about you?
I don't know. I've had a very different way into this industry than most people. Very blessed, very lucky. A lot of things, like, I never in a million years would have thought that, like, this was the road that I was going to be on, or that would be presented to me. But, honestly, I don't know. Like, I like working in this industry. It really, there's definitely some downsides to it. But I think you know that going in. It's not something that's, like, you know, not a big secret. But I don't know. I really love making something that I'm, like, for me, to be invested into something that I'm doing, I have to care about it, and I have to be proud of it, and I have to feel like it's something that I'm, like, oh, like, that I'm proud of being involved with. And for me, like, I just want to keep making things that I would love to see in a movie theater. Like, or on a TV. Like, I want to make stuff that I would want to be a part of, and that I would want to be remembered as, like, oh yeah, I was there, and this happened, and this happened, and it was awesome, or it was terrible, but we still made this great thing. And, like, I've been very fortunate in that regard, but, yeah, I mean, there's always what's next. There's never, like, it's like, when you see your name come down the screen, it's really humbling, but then you're like, okay, what am I going to do next? It's like an addiction almost. Yeah. I don't know. I'm excited to see where I'll be, you know, a year from now. But I've got a really good thing going on Walking Dead, and, you know, that's, a whole beast in and of itself. As far as TV and, like, movies go, working in both, there's definitely, like, pluses and downsides to working in both, but I don't know. I feel like everywhere, every crew that I've been a part of, I felt like I was part of a family, and it's like being around that that kind of work environment. It's really a great thing. That the people, that when you really bond with a group of people, like, just being around them, it really helps. It helps, you know, push you forward and keeps you going and gives you a reason to want to go to work the next day. So you just got to think about it in a removed perspective. Like, you got to think, like, who in a million years would have thought that this would be possible? A, B, people would kill someone for a chance to do this. And by me complaining or like having any kind of like negative thought or not wanting to be here is just kind of like not fair to the world. So I don't know. You just have to kind of look, like take a step back and think about it sometimes to really get the perspective that you need and to really get the next, you know, the fire underneath you to keep going. Because sometimes it's real hard, dude. Those, especially like Brandon, when we're out there doing company moves at 3 a.m, like you gotta really love the people you're around to be there. Yeah. Like, but you know what? It's that kind of that mentality that really makes, like, it really brings people together and it makes them work hard and makes them they give their best. And I feel like that is, that's just this. There's something to be said for it, you know.
Yeah.
And
I actually have a. It's a related, very closely related thing, which is I'm working at basically a design agency. They're like a user experience or a design experience agency or whatever. It's work for museums and anyway. But I was talking with my boss the other day, and he was actually saying, you know, the main people I try and hire. This never really came up when I first came on. I started as just like a software developer, but he was like, the people I really want to hire are film producers. People with film experience, because it's the complete form. It's the complete art form. And I want people who have a sense of, like, if this needs to happen, I'm going to get it done. And they also have a sense of the entire, like, scope and spectrum of the work, right? It's like, you know what it takes in pre-production, production, and post-production. And, I mean, I always thought, like, shifting away from film specifically to kind of be more, like, interactive and, you know, software based, that no one would care. Like, I was kind of like, oh, I'm throwing away this experience, you know, and it's never going to be, people won't see it as useful, even though I do. I see them as like intrinsically connected in my mind. But kind of what you're saying of that, like, you've got to love it and you've got to like push through. Like, yeah, I don't know. I wish I was on like a set every day sometimes, you know, compared to like coding or whatever random things happening. But I love that. It's that same like impulse and drive, right? That I don't know. That makes it great.
Hunter, were you finished with your comment?
Yeah, I mean, it's the same thing he's saying. Same exact thing.
Yeah.
It's the relationships you build with people and the just, I don't know. You gotta find your thing that keeps you going, because there's definitely gonna be times where you're like, man, all this work, this is a lot of work. Hope this movie's good, but like, yeah. You know, at the end of the day, you got to realize you're working on this thing or you're working on something that you care about. And you know what? You're doing something with your life. Either A, if you're in a theater watching a movie, that's time you've invested into it. Like it's investments that you're making in one way or the other, whether it be your work or the time or the money that you're giving to it. And you really got to care about it.
Yeah.
If you're going to keep doing it. I mean, and I think we're all here because we've been bitten by the bug and that's our thing. That's one of the things that we love. Yeah. And there's something to be said for that. And you know what? It's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Going off the film producer comment by Ben, I'm going to ask Thomas now his thoughts. Or the same question that everyone else has had.
Which is... sorry, it's been a while since the question was asked, and it's kind of morphed.
It's morphed, yeah, like yeah. Basically, what... Because this industry can, like, can tear people down, and not just in as a... someone who works in it, but also as a viewer with the things that are shown, what are some things that keep you going, like either from a viewer or even a person who's in it?
Well, I think this all stems to this like epiphany I had my first like couple weeks at film school. So when I was in high school, I found just kind of on my own. I think like the old Greg clip was blowing up on YouTube, and I started watching Mighty Boosh and was like just blown away by this like insanely weird twisted sense of humor in the Mighty Boosh. And so then I went off to, and I kind of kept that hidden in high school, like I didn't talk about that kind of humor that I liked. And then when I went to college, I was lucky enough to have a roommate who dug that kind of humor too. And so kind of all throughout college, we just sank deeper and deeper into weirder stuff through Adult Swim and Sick Animation, which is this website that you should not visit unless you have a dark, dark, dark sense of humor. But I love it. And that was always like a side compartment for me. When I got to USC, I was like, all right, I'm at film school. Like, this is the real deal. I have to make dramas. And felt that way. Like, the whole, everything that I wrote and made for my applications to film school was, like, all drama. Mm-hmm. I got here, like, kind of started writing drama and writing classes. But then we had this one assignment that was, like, write about your childhood. And I just wrote this funny little story about how there's this girl in my preschool class who, like, would always say we were engaged, and everybody like thought we were engaged, and all the parents would make jokes about it, and I was terrified because I thought I was gonna have to marry this girl and like be married to her for the rest of my life. And I wrote that story, and my writing professor just kind of looked at me and she was like, that was funny, you should write some more comedy. And that just like it, like I, for some reason, these two parts of my brain had existed where I was like, I love really really weird crazy like comedy,
yeah,
but like I can't make that. And then that just opened up, and like my first film that I actually made at USC was this like drug trip comedy that was crazy. It was, yes, just, it came to like, this image just came to my brain of like somebody puking quarters, and I was like, what do I make out of this? And so that's what the movie turned into.
I was on set for that.
Yep. And so it's continued like that throughout school, like not always on school projects, but definitely on independent projects. I've been able to find people who, like, when you get on a set and you're just like, anyone can make suggestions, and it's like, no, suggestion is too weird, like you can try anything. And so that keeps me going personally, and then also like in the industry I'm seeing that become more and more like accepted, like, I don't want to say mainstream, but like, just for instance, Rick and Morty is something that does it really well. The fact that BoJack Horseman is like critically acclaimed, that you can blend like drama. I think that's it, especially, is like the ability recently for the industry to blend drama with this really weird off the wall humor. Like, just the fact that Swiss Army Man is a feature film that exists is amazing. And Baskets, this past season, they just, Louis Anderson just got an Emmy for playing Zach Galifianakis' mother. He was so good. And just like last week in Atlanta, spoiler alerts if nobody's seen it, there's this episode, and like they're at a basketball game, and somebody just goes, "Oh, look, there's Justin Bieber," and it's just this black actor, and like they cast an African American actor as Justin Bieber, and like they don't, it's not a joke, it's not like, it's not some big joke. They just, that's what they did for the episode, and it totally works.
That's hilarious.
And so, so I think it's just the fact that, you know, I continue to see these kind of risks and like humor, yeah, off the wall humor kind of involved with drama. And I think it all works really well. And that's what inspires me to keep trying to make stuff like that. So yeah, there we go.
Will, what about you?
Well, I'm not in the film industry, so, I guess the best way to answer this question is, film is one of the few things that keeps me going during the week when, you know, mm-hmm, everyone else has exciting lives and I'm stuck in a bank and stuck with good storytelling gets you through the day as a form of therapy. Mm-hmm. And so,
what keeps you writing reviews? Because like you can get a crappy movie. Yeah, like what keeps you writing about movies?
Oh, okay. Well, as long as I'm going to a movie, I usually have something to say about it, and it's very rare, and again, everyone's got an opinion, right? It just depends on, yeah, can you actually say something of value or that's different. So there's been a couple movies I've seen that I've had like maybe three things to say, so I can't write a review. I never want to write a review unless I feel like there's something legitimately interesting to be said, that I can say that no one else has said or has not said necessarily the same way that I've said it. As we all say, you know, film and art, everything is referential, and you build off of others. And of course, I give a lot of credit to the way I like to write based off of the way Grantland used to, rest in peace, Grantland, used to do their articles on taking apart film and television. And so, what keeps me going then is if I'm just going to watch something. I think as a human being, you make value judgments all the time. So whenever people say don't judge me, I always ask why. Like you're a person, you have the ability to make judgments and judgment calls, and be able to dissect something and to take something apart. I guess if you just have an analytical mind, it becomes a little more second nature. So whenever I encounter anything, whatever I'm watching, I'm always sort of taking it apart, and I've always enjoyed doing it. I think you can find a lot of value and a lot, and see the beauty and the richness and the layers that you get, especially with the creative stuff. And so yeah, so that's what keeps me going and doing that, basically just experiencing it.
Mm-hmm. Should I answer now?
No, no, you're not allowed to answer.
No, we
at
were
all.
Planning to we were planning to skip you.
What keeps me going, both as a audience member and a, I think as a person who makes films or tells stories, is reinvention. And by that I mean, I like Hunter was talking about, like, you get the bug, and after every project you want to do something else. And then with Tom was talking about, like, going and trying the weird, like, absurd comedy. It's more like, I like, as a person who's a writer or a director, I want to keep reinventing myself and trying something different every time and seeing what I can learn from it and see kind of what I can do. And then what keeps me going as an audience member is seeing artists reinvent themselves, either as an actor or a writer or a director. You love seeing, like, someone trying something new. It's like you love seeing that actor who might be known for comedies to try that drama, or that director who's known for doing little comedies all of a sudden now doing Thor Ragnarok. Like, you like seeing these things that are different, and that's what keeps me going, and seeing what people can just try, and with that we get great stories.
Well said.
I could agree more. Could not agree more.
Totally.
Brandon, have we hit the point where we get to say embarrassing things now?
Is there an airing grievances section?
If we want to.
Send a nation true confessionals.
these are my confessions.
Got a lot of problems with you people.
Oh, so well,
everybody go around and say your most embarrassing movie confessions.
Okay.
Like, oh, the movie, like a movie that you feel guilty for liking?
Anything.
Yeah, let's do that.
I have a feeling for Ben it's going to be something he's never seen that he still hasn't admitted to.
Yeah, let's try that. Most like embarrassing thing, like willing to admit anything movie-wise. Or television-wise.
Oh, man, I've got a story from work that I could tell you that is
Are you allowed? Are you allowed to tell this story?
It doesn't reveal anything, but, oh, man, yeah, it's amazing. Amazing.
Can you tell it, or are you just like...
I'm going to tell it. So
he's just building the hype. He's got to build
like,
the hype train
first. He's
like, no, I
can't tell it, but it's amazing.
On undisclosed project, I was walking something to a costume department. And it
were
was,
you
it was
were you
kind of
like
delivery.
Dead tired while you were walking?
yes, it was a particularly hard day, and I was dead tired while I was walking.
Okay.
My legs hurt. I felt like I walked all the way from Atlanta, Georgia, to somewhere like, I don't know, around Washington D.C. But
that's very specific.
Yeah, but man, I was so tired. So I was tired, and I was walking, and I mean, you could say I was dead, I guess, inside. But I was after this happened to me. So I'm walking. I have some packages. I put them down. As I'm putting the packages down, there's a producer's meeting in this room that I just happened to put the packages in. And as I'm putting it down, I'm at full bend, and my pants split all the way up the back of my pants. Like, all the way up, okay? But the worst part was the sound that my pants made, like the pressure, I guess, on them. Sounded like I let out a fart. And so everyone in this room is just like, and it's everyone, literally from the top of my boss, like, pyramid, all the way down, everyone. And I'm just like.
You had to quit on the spot right there. You just have to move. You have to move to Canada and just.
I immediately stood up. I looked at them, and then I properly, like, walked out of the room. And as soon as I walked outside, I was like, oh, my God. They think that I just farted in that room and then left. I was like, what do I do?
Oh my God.
How do I get out of this?
And so I'm like, I'm thinking about it. I'm like, oh, and I text one of my friends that's back in the office, and I was like, you would not believe it just happened to me. Like, this is the worst moment of my life. This is so embarrassing. And then it started pouring down, raining on me.
No.
And I was just like, why, God?
That's fantastic.
Why have you done this to me?
Hunter, that's the saddest story I've ever heard.
I love that story. Can you tell all these stories?
Dude, I've got more, but that is by far, like, number one most embarrassing thing that's ever happened to me at work.
That's incredible.
That's fantastic.
Much less.
Follow that.
Yeah, dude. And honestly, that's the impression that I left in their heads. And you know what? The same bosses, This is the same people that I physically, like, ran into around a corner when I was dressed like Dora the Explorer last Halloween for the Halloween costume contest. I was walking around the corner dressed like, I was literally, was like, Vamanos! And I walked around the corner, hit my boss, and I was like, I'm so sorry. And the look of confusion on his face, it was like my second day on the show, and the look on his face was just like, just complete confusion. It wasn't angry, it was just like,
what are you doing?
Why is there some dude, some 6'3" dude dressed like Dora the Explorer in this, why?
But welcome yeah, to Hunter, you know, Barcroft's therapy session.
This is my confession. I don't know what to do. Now I'm going to read part two of my confessions, Brandon.
Oh. And on that note, none of the rest of us are going to confess anything. We just wanted to get that out of.
Yeah, let's move on. That's really, like, it.
You can't really follow that. Does anyone have any questions you want to ask the group at all? This feels like group therapy, actually.
That does feel like group therapy.
What are the... So we already talked about favorite episodes, but let's publicly... This is a horrible time to do this, but let's map out, like, what do you guys want to do moving forward, right? Because, like, I love some of the interviews that you guys have been doing lately. I'm going to give this shout out to my homeboy Thomas. And, no, I love some of the interviews you guys have been getting, because to me, like, the premise of the show in some ways is...
Thanks, Ben.
Like, us... No, it's people like us, right, who are delivering packages to a room or, like, trying to produce and direct and whatever, right? Like... It's people like us interviewing other people who are also, you know, at our level or a little bit above or whatever, and to have these, like, casual conversations about what it's like. I said Brandon. Anyway.
Brandon did.
It was just pure Thomas there.
I appreciate it.
I love you. I love you, Brandon.
Thanks, Ben. Nah, I appreciate it. It's cool.
No, but so that's like... Okay.
Continue. You like hearing Thomas interview these people.
Just Thomas. Obviously, Thomas has been doing all the legwork for all of this stuff. That to me is, like, the kernel of, like, what I think is, like, potentially unique-ish about the show, right? Because there's a lot of people, like, online talking about film and television. Like, that's not unique. But it's this perspective of, in my mind, we're not trying to necessarily interview... like Steven Soderbergh. Like, we could, that would be fantastic, but it's much more interesting to, like, the last episode of the filmmaker interview, where it's like, you know, we're just talking through, like, the production process. I'm out.
So going off his question of where do you guys want the show go? That's a good topic, and everyone will now hold us accountable if we don't do it.
Sure.
Do you really want to go there?
I'm just saying, I'm watching bad movies on the reg. I do it anyway. if Anna and Hunter, if you guys have more free time these days, if you want to join me, I'm open. I'm just saying, I'm watching them either way.
I'll replace my dating life with watching bad movies. Because that would make me so much happier, to be completely honest with you. So
we'll make a pact, Hunter. Let's do it.
Hey, I'm down. I'm in this halfway. This can be a domestic partnership.
I'm very down to continue doing Bad Movie Book Club. I've quit two jobs in the last week, and I am free as a bird.
Four Bad Movie Book Club. Yeah. All right, guys. You heard
four,
it here first.
I did it specifically for Bad Movie Book Club.
Yeah.
Just for you guys.
I like that commitment. I love commitment to the
you
family.
You watched Ridiculous 6 and it made you quit two jobs.
That's a story right there.
You're not wrong, Hunter. You're not wrong.
Oh, my God.
Does anyone else have any comments to make
I'm interested to see what you guys think. Yeah, Will and Anna. I'm interested to see what you guys think because, I don't know. Anna, you've been on... More than a handful of episodes.
I haven't been on, I'll be honest, I haven't been on very many episodes, but I like listening to episodes about specific movies and themed ideas. Like, I love the Western episode and I love, like, Bad Movie Book Club because we're talking about one movie and I always get drawn to ones like that. So I'm always a fan of, like, analyzing one particular movie or one particular kind of genre. I really enjoy those episodes.
Yeah.
That's just my perspective, but I love the episodes as well where you discuss, like, the industry and, you know, storytelling and things like that. Those are amazing as well. Myself, I'm very drawn to the analyzing film, one specific film aspect. Even if it is a terrible movie, Even if it's I Know Who Killed Me. I still like talking about it. Yep. Or Roadhouse, which actually isn't a terrible movie.
What about you, Will?
Exactly. Yeah.
Will, I mean, I'm down for a Bad Movie Book Club. If that wants to come back.
Yes.
I didn't get to participate the last two renditions of it, but there's just two, right? You only did two?
There's three.
I missed it.
We did Roadhouse, I Know Who Killed Me, and...
Anaconda.
That's
right. The Anaconda, that's right.
Good times.
Don't worry, Will. Most people forgot about the Anaconda episode.
They did. I've seen the downloads.
I kind of did, actually.
Fair point.
Shade thrown!
He throws that shade at me. Anytime I'm like, we should get Bad Movie Book Club back together, he's like, yeah, I like that Anaconda episode. I'm like, ugh.
Oh.
You know what, though? The people that did watch it probably love Bad Movie Book Club, and we got to have something for everyone.
That's exactly what Thomas said to me.
It can't all just be us talking about Zack Snyder and Star Wars.
That's just you talking about Zack Snyder.
Well,
dude, I'm still not over it.
See, here's the thing. Hunter and I have not actually had to have a proper Kvetch Fest over Man of Steel yet, so.
Another episode. Not this episode.
Another time, another place.
So, Hunter, your ideas.
My ideas. Okay, so I really want to be on more episodes, given I now have a lot more free time. I also really want to hit medium harder.
Yeah.
I went back on medium for like the first time in a while, like a long time the other day, and there's so many differences from when I was there. It's grown a lot, but there's like so many more film publications out there.
Yes.
And I really want to take our publication, which is a great one. I want to take it up a notch. I want to keep it going. I want to keep the ball rolling, and I want to grow in that regard. But at the same time, I also want to see if there's a way, like my dream idea for a Bad Movie Book Club would be a way we could do it where we still release the episode, but we also watch it live if we had time. Somehow we'll watch it together. Time somehow, and there was a way for us to communicate with people that wanted to join us in like some kind of chat room or something,
YouTube
or we could talk
Live
about it, like,
or Google Hangouts.
Yeah. And I think that would be a really interesting component to Bad Movie Book Club, and might, you know, foster a little bit more community in a sense, because like we have the podcast, people listen to it. A surprising number of people listen to it now.
Shocking.
But yeah, I mean, long gone are the days where you and Ben are just, you know, talking on cell phones. You know what I mean?
I know, like, right?
We're, this is a thing now.
Big
we're
league.
Invested in
big league.
Yeah, big league. We're in the bigs now. You know, we're not bush league anymore, Ben. But I don't know. I think that would be a really interesting thing to do, and I want to keep growing. I want to like interview more people. I would love to interview. I love the stuff that you guys have been doing lately. It's been a good mix of people, and I want to keep that going. I want to, like, you know, bring in people that you would never in a million years, like, you would hear about them somehow, but that doesn't mean everyone would. Like, I'm discovering these things about people that I literally had no idea about, and I'm loving it. Like, I want that to keep going, because it's a really healthy balance, and man, I just, it's going good places, and I can't wait to see what's next.
Yeah, I agree with all that. Because I want to be find a way for it to be more interactive with our listeners and our readers and our followers. I think I love our Medium publication, like Hunter has said. Like, there have been so many that have popped up probably within the past 6 months. I mean, with The Ringer and then Film School Rejects coming out, and they're all good publications. I'm not knocking any of them, but I like to hear what other people have to say as well that are not just like hired writers for it, if that makes sense, and they're all doing great stuff, but I want to hear what
The Ringer is,
kind of how we were.
Ringer is made up of a lot of old Grantland folks.
Yeah, it's pretty much just the Phoenix of Grantland.
Yeah, which is fine by me. I mean, because I was a huge Grantland fan.
Yeah, if The Ringer ever tried to like poach me away from CineNation, I would totally just stay at CineNation, and I would not even like.
I'd be gone in 5 seconds. Sorry, guys.
I was shaking my head.
We should
that
make a treaty. We should form a treaty.
I would sell you guys out in a second. I'd be like, here's all the secrets to CineNation.
Yeah.
Thanks for the loyalty, guys.
Yeah. What do you want?
This is in a parallel universe where we like pose a huge threat to The Ringer.
No, I'm not looking to do that either. Like, I always love hearing new voices in any way if it's through writing reviews or if it's through writing analytical pieces about film or television or even just like directors or like anything. And that's what I want us to get better at with the medium, because I think we have a solid audience there, and the writers we do have are great, and I would love to see us get more. And then with the podcast as well, I would love to interview more people. And like Hunter was saying, I want to keep it a diverse group of people. Like, it's not just interviewing the big name actor or director. I would love to interview editors. I'd love to, I would love to interview more writers or sound designers, like anything. So that's is going back to my other thing, reinvention. Keep trying new things, and that's my goal.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I completely 100% agree. That's beautifully put.
And so on that note, what are y'all's recommendations for our listeners this week?
Well, Anna needs to find out who Norm MacDonald is. As a Canadian, it is your
clearly.
And so he actually just—I recommended it last week, but I'll just let Anna know. He did just have his memoirs released. It's based on a true story. Hilarious. It's a great read. But other Norm stuff. His podcast is back. Norm MacDonald Live is back up. They just had 2 episodes. Stephen Merchant was the first guest coming back, and then Bill Hader was the most recent guest. And so his show is hysterical. I love Norm. I love his delivery, his comedic style, just everything about it. It's fantastic. So Norm MacDonald Live, not just for Anna, but for you guys as well.
He's also currently appearing on Mike Tyson Mysteries.
Yes, he is.
A great show. As a talking pigeon. So yeah, he's doing a lot of good things.
Okay.
I'll look into it.
Anna, do you have one?
A recommendation?
Yes.
Come
back to you.
Come back to me, please. Thank you.
Okay. Thomas?
Recommendations. Oh, man, I've been watching so much TV this weekend. I had a project I was supposed to be producing pull out on me, and I was like, the person who was hiring me like bought me coffee and was like, I'm so sorry that we're canceling this project. And in my brain, I'm just going like, oh, man, I have so much TV I can watch this weekend. Yes.
I'm a little disappointed, but it's actually totally fine. Yeah,
exactly. I'm actually really enjoying, I mean I'm watching a bunch of stuff right now, but I'm really really enjoying Easy, which is the new Netflix series from Joe Swanberg. I'm always like, I enjoy Mumblecore. I'll say I enjoy Mumblecore. Like, I never really love Mumblecore, but I like watching it for the most part.
Explain to folks at home even, what that is.
Mumblecore, it's just kind of like, usually it's very, very, like, quiet. It's called Mumblecore because everybody's talking quietly. It's usually, like, heavily improv'd, independent comedy that usually isn't very funny for the most part.
But it's very naturalistic.
It's
right?
It's extremely naturalistic, and that's what I usually like about Mumblecore, is even when, like, even if the story isn't that strong, you're getting very interesting performances out of people. That's usually very visceral. It usually hits to some type of emotion really, really well. And Joe Swanberg is like the, I don't want to say the king, like the Duplass brothers are the kings of Mumblecore, but they, Mumblecore was always kind of partially improvised, and Joe Swanberg came along and was like, let's just improvise the whole thing. So they just kind of, he sits down with his actors and they map out a scene and then they just go. And he now has this Netflix series, which is like an anthology type series. It's just a bunch of following a bunch of people, usually couples, through their lives in Chicago. And like, kind of, it's just every episode has a different theme, but a lot of it is about relationships. And I've thoroughly enjoyed, I'm like 5 episodes in, and I've thoroughly enjoyed every episode. Really great casts. Yeah, definitely worth checking out.
Ben?
I'm going to play my role as like throwback to what everyone was probably watching or talking about a year ago, but I got, as part of upgrading cable for college football, I got HBO for free or whatever and started watching Vice Principals.
Yes.
And, you know,
yes.
It's hilarious. It's just hilarious. I like it. I will say, like, I love the pilot. Like, I love the pilot. The pilot is amazing. Awesome. Bill Murray, yeah. Like, you've just got, like, an amazing thing. And I've watched quite a few like HBO pilots, like for shows that I've never been interested in finishing. Like I've watched just like that first bit, and it always is interesting to me, like the writing of that, right? The setup of it and how refined and like absolutely like jet fuel it is, right? Like they have spent so much time on that sequence of setting everything up. And then I'm already kind of feeling like, you know, as I'm moving forward, I'm like, it's just not as amazing as Bill Murray, but I'm going to give it a, I'm going to go for the ride. Ben, I still like it.
Ben, what I will say about like at, having finished the season recently, I think when you finish it and take a look back at it, what you'll really like appreciate, or at least what I really appreciate about that show is Kimberly Hebert Gregory, who plays Belinda Brown, and just how she doesn't have a huge like resume, but like she came onto that show and she just holds her own against these two like powerhouse leads. She like
sure, yeah.
is amazing.
And I love the
in
heart
show.
In that show too. As funny as it is, mm-hmm. it has a lot of heart to it. And yeah. and just the character arcs as well. I could talk for hours on that show. It's just so good.
Yeah. I love the writing. I mean like the turns that it's already taken, because I feel like there's a very like kind of tropey way that you could cover all the material they're covering, and they're very intentionally like kind of like looking that in the eye and just being like, hell no, and taking a whole nother way, which I like. I just think it's, I think it's really interesting. The writing on it's great. So,
Hunter,
Walking Dead back in what two or three weeks, guys? You guys should watch it. It's gonna be a ballin' episode.
There's a billboard near my apartment.
Is there?
Yeah.
There's a billboard of Shameless near my apartment, and every time I pass by it, I'm like, yeah, because I love that show. But that, I mean, honestly, tonight I'm going to go watch the Westworld premiere.
Yeah.
And you guys should all watch that so we can talk about it next time.
I'm so
already
down.
Have a DVR.
Let's do it.
I'm into that.
All right.
I have a DVR. I'm ready to go.
Sounds good to me. Yeah, Westworld and Walking Dead. That's my two recommendations.
Anna?
Dope. Oh, gosh. Finally back to me. Yeah, honestly, I haven't been watching a lot of stuff lately. I've been watching a lot of reruns of Great British Bake Off.
RIP.
Yeah. I love that show.
It's a great show. Yeah, RIP. Honestly, I just found out about that. I'm a little devastated, TBH. But that was mostly just keep myself occupied because I didn't feel like doing actual work, so I would watch that. But I recently watched the new documentary about Amanda Knox on Netflix, which is a really interesting doc kind of from the perspective of both Amanda Knox and the police involved in the murder.
Do you think she's guilty?
You guys all know. Oh, God, I don't even know. The way they filmed it was like very much kind of like The Imposter, you know, that documentary?
Yep.
It was so face-on that it was like you're forced to look the people in the eye, the people who are, you know, guilty or being accused, and it's so uncomfortable. It's just, it's so hard to form opinions like that through a screen, you know. It makes me even more confused than when I first watched it, like started it, or even just heard about the case. I have no idea, to be honest. But I think it's really interesting how stylish documentaries are becoming, actually. You know, I just saw Going Clear the other day as well.
Love that.
Love yeah, I mean, documentaries are so in right now. Like they've come back in full force. People want to watch them. People want to see the latest cool thing on Netflix. You know, what else did I see recently that was really cool? That was a new documentary. It was Best of Enemies. Like, just they're done so well these days. So I really love the Amanda Knox documentary. I also have been really getting into revisionist westerns lately. McCabe and Mrs. Miller, Robert Altman's film from 71, is brilliant. Highly recommend it. It's typical Altman fare, you know, a little slow, a little terrible with the audio recording, but it's beautiful, and Criterion's coming out with a new transfer, so I'm so excited about that.
We sell them at Cinephile Video.
Oh, hey, look at that.
Yeah, we sell Criterion, like we have a partnership with them.
Oh, that's so sick.
Ben Child is here.
That is the cutest thing ever.
He needs an answer, Ben.
Did you hear the question he asked?
What did he ask?
He said, "Dad, when I grow up, can I be the Tooth Angel?"
Oh my god.
And then he closed the door.
He doesn't even eat anything. You guys should get some of these.
What? Kids or tooth angels?
I'm okay right now. So my two recommendations.
Take all the films you're watching and basically just reduce it by, like, you know, 90%. That's how much film and television you'll watch. But you will get cute questions.
Okay. So my two recommendations, one in theaters, and then one that just came out on home video, if you guys still do that. So the one in theaters, I just saw Deepwater Horizon last night. I actually really, really enjoyed it. Not going to lie.
Cool.
I was kind of not expecting much, but I love Peter Berg as a director, even when he has a misfire. But, like, Friday Night Lights is amazing to me. Sorry.
You don't have to apologize for that. It's a good show.
Yeah, why are you apologizing about the Friday Nights?
I heard Thomas go when I said Peter.
Well, no, I mean I think I love Friday Night Lights too. I think that's why I'm overly critical of him, because you have Friday Night Lights, you have the pilot of The Leftovers, and then you have Battleship. So it's just like,
but it's great. It's kind of divided into two halves, and the second half is one of the most intense sequences or few sequences I've seen in a while in a theater. It doesn't let up for the last half of the movie. And I think he does it really well. So I'm very excited to see his next movie, Patriots Day. And so the other recommendation, that I know Hunter and Thomas love is Hunt for the Wilder People, which I just recently watched and
about
loved
time.
It
about
just came
time.
Out on DVD.
Oh, I'm Brandon. I was in Alabama all summer. I can't watch this movie.
Do you know the theaters we have in Alabama? They're not great.
It came to Atlanta, but I could not convince. You never want to see anything I want to see. I wanted to see The Shallows, and you wouldn't go. And
she
I was
has,
like, this
that's because
like,
she has shit,
shit
opinions in movies. I mean, that's just.
Anyway,
shade thrown.
I just watched The Shallows today, by the way, Hunter. I just watched The Shallows today. But no, Hunt for the Wilder People is amazing, and it's one of the best comedies this year by far. Probably the best comedy by far.
Taika Waititi, 2 years in a row, MVP of comedy.
Yeah,
2 years in a row.
I'm really interested in seeing what he does with Thor Ragnarok.
Is America going to get the TV adaptation, continuation spinoff of What We Do in the Shadows, or is that an only New Zealand?
We'll be able to find it somewhere.
You'll find it, the internet nowadays.
I'm
Thomas
so
says as he
that.
Takes a big gulp of his drink. We'll be able to find it somewhere.
Happen. But yeah, so that's it for this 50th episode. Guys,
woo!
I can't believe we made it.
50.
Make sure you follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook. And as we've already talked about Medium, make sure if you want to follow us on Medium, and also if you want to write for us, send us your articles, reviews, essays, whatever. We're interested in reading whatever you have. I know Hunter and Thomas definitely are interested in reading whatever you have. And so send it to us. We'll look at it. Also, make sure you subscribe to us on iTunes and write us any reviews, any thoughts you have about the show. We want to hear from you, and hopefully we can help improve the show, or we can improve the show based off what you guys say, because you guys are also a very integral part of this show. Guys, anything else you want to say before we sign off?
Bad Movie Book Club will rise again.
Absolutely. Can't wait.
Hunter just wants to say something, but he won't do it.
No, I mean, I agree with everything that he just said, and it will. It will rise again. It will be reborn. It will be amazing. We're gonna make Bad Movie Book Club great again, guys.
I'd like people to say nice or mean things to us on Twitter. I would be open to that. Suggestions for future episodes, guests, topics.
If you know of anyone, send them our way.
No, whatever.
So, guys, thank you guys for coming on, and thank you all for listening. And we hope you guys tune in to more episodes, and I hope you guys can all come back for more episodes soon. This is the most we've had ever, so it's been fun.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, guys. Bye.